Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports. Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Tim McCone, Ted Johnson, filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. Ted Johnson's debut on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Going to be on a bunch moving forward, though. You're on with Marshall Hook tomorrow, too, right?
I'm on with Marshall from 2 to 6,
yep.
So filling in for Felger and Maz, which I'm excited to do. And then I'm going to be with Zoe. God help us.
No, that's going to be awesome.
You talk about going off the rails, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be – if Zoe and I will be working together 10 to 2 on Monday.
Okay.
Right? I believe from Gillette Stadium. I could be wrong. But that'll be a good time. If we can keep a succinct thought throughout the entire – from the beginning of the segment to the very end, I will be amazed.
Yeah.
If we can do one segment where we do not go off schedule – I will be shocked if we can do that. So, I love it. His energy just brings more out of me, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, two 100%. Things on that show. It's going to be the day after the regular season finale, so we'll know when the Patriots are playing in the divisional round, if they get the bye, obviously. And then also, Zoe will probably have one foot out the door because the day before New Year's Eve. So,
that's
get
very
ready for
true.
That too, right?
That's very true. Reel
him in, Ted.
Oh, God. Zoe, I got stories on stories on stories when it comes to Zoe. But
can't wait to hear that.
Back in the day, man, him and Maxie, and we had such a good core.
Yeah.
Oh, those Halloween parties, those Christmas parties, and then Monday at Daisy's.
Oh,
back in the day.
Daisy's, he always talking about that.
Daisies, come on. Yeah, this early in my career, and I spent many a night with many a Monday night in Daisy Buchanan's with Zoe, and loved every minute of it.
Love it. Yep. That's good stuff. All right, well, yeah, Sarge, you mentioned it. Coming up Monday, we're going to have a clear shot of the playoff picture. Just from taking a look at the AFC and what you've seen, obviously you spent time in Houston, so you know the Texans pretty well. When you look at the AFC, are there any teams out there that would scare you from the Patriots' perspective?
Yeah, it's between two teams.
Yeah,
and I think one team. There's an argument to be made that they don't really have a shot, and I think Sarge is going to make an argument for that team.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the Chargers, because I just think Philip Rivers, even though he doesn't have a long history of success in the playoffs. It's Philip Rivers.
See, Zoe loves Philip Rivers, too.
I do. You know what? And they have, I think it's one of the only teams in the AFC that has a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. And so maybe after that Baltimore game, not so much. But that team, to me, is the most complete team. Now, that last home loss to Baltimore was a head-scratcher.
Yeah.
But to go into Kansas City and go toe-to-toe like they did, down two touchdowns with 6 minutes left, and have a big comeback win. That's huge. They have a pass rush. They have a great pass rush. They have a phenomenal stud safety there. They have a legit defense, and they got weapons on offense. So to me, and they have a grizzled vet with Philip Rivers, and I just wouldn't bet against anybody that wears a bolo tie. And Philip Rivers pulls off the bolo tie, I think, about as good as anybody.
Yeah. He's had a great regular season.
He has. And
really
so,
good.
And it's, that team just never has. It's kind of like, I think how a lot of people would view the Texans, all right, they might win a lot of regular seasons, but they don't really have any grit and grime and toughness when it really matters. I think this team's got some bite to it.
Yeah,
I think this team can actually go head toe-to-toe, and I don't think they'd be intimidated. Philip Rivers wouldn't be intimidated by this team.
No, and well, I mean, like you were saying with me with the Ravens, that what I saw Saturday in L.A. going in there, they sacked Rivers four times. They had two interceptions. Like, okay, this is a time of year, you know that too, Ted, when a defense really starts to gel and then carry that into the playoffs, ride that momentum there. You know, Eric Weddle's good. That other guy, Michael Pierce for Baltimore, another tough guy.
T-Sizzle still that's bringing it.
Yes, and they're not the number
Mosley,
one ranked.
Mosley, great middle linebacker, yep.
Yeah, they're just like, and Harbaugh is not afraid to come to Gillette Stadium, and it's happened. It has happened
Fair
before.
Point.
They've knocked them off, and they're not afraid to do that.
The only thing,
one team that scares me.
Sarge, it's funny you say that because I would kind of say the Baltimore Ravens might be another team that you'd have to be afraid of.
Yep.
Because of their defense. Mm-hmm. They have an unbelievable running game.
Yeah, they do.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay, and this
Lamar
team
Jackson
can't stop.
Looks good, too.
But it's Lamar Jackson going against Tom Brady. Okay. Like, what if some of the young – how did Tebow do in the playoffs here? How did Andrew Luck do in
the
playoffs here?
That's why I'm not buying into, like, a guy like Mahomes. He's a rookie, you know?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. That's why
– with Andy Reid, of course.
And it's very – right.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Andy Reid?
Well, you want to talk about a coach that kind of loses his mind when he plays in Foxborough. The clock management towards the end of some of those games has been unbelievable.
The 2004 Super Bowl was epic.
Pretty much sums it up. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But I could see maybe the Ravens giving him a fight.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson's going to have to make a play or two in that game to win.
True.
Can he do it?
Right.
I haven't seen young quarterbacks come in here and prove to me that they can do that.
When you look at the Texans, I mean, on paper at least, it looks like that's a team that kind of is built to beat the Patriots in terms of the front four that can get after it, you know, like the Giants used to be able to. And then you've got a mobile quarterback in Deshaun Watson, which New England's kind of struggled with. Do you see there's any chance at all that Houston could come into Gillette Stadium and beat the Patriots? You know, I go back to a couple of years ago, by the way, and ever since...
Yeah, have they done historically?
Well, I was going to say the Letterman jacket fiasco when they came in here and then just got absolutely rolled by the Pats. But I go back to that postseason game and defensively, they had a great showing, and if it wasn't Brock Osweiler as the quarterback here, they might have picked off the Patriots in that game. Do you think there's any way that they could come in here or no?
I do. I think they could come in here and give the Patriots a fight. I just, you know what, and I'm a big Bill O'Brien fan. It's just historically, if you look at this team, the Texans coming up here, it hasn't been good. I get what you're saying. Now, they do have Romeo Crennel as their defensive coordinator. And he knows how to play Tom. Right? Yeah. He can game plan Tom. And you're right. That front four for the Texans is stellar. I mean, Merciless and J.D. Clowney, J.J. Watt. But they have strategies to combat that. Ball out fast, the running game.
Yeah.
They can do things to combat it. And I just don't know. That offensive line for the Texans is horrendous. And I think Belichick can game plan for Deshaun. Now, mobile quarterbacks have always given this team, the Patriots, a hard time.
Yeah.
They just have. So Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson running around creating things, you saw it last year when he came in here and almost beat the Patriots last season before he got injured. So the guy can make plays. I just don't think they have enough to get it done.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Chris in Rhode Island. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You guys just asked a question on you know, who on the AFC, you know, and other playoff teams scares the Patriots. But I'd like to kind of, like, ask the reverse question. Like, if someone's coming, I understand Gillette Stadium and the history, but this isn't history. This is this year. Like, who on the Patriots really scares you if you're an AFC playoff team? And then just one more quick thing I wanted to add is, I think his name is J.C. Jackson. He plays for the secondary. Like, where did this guy come from? He looks like he's playing, like great fundamental football to me. But I'm just going to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, the J.C. Jackson thing is crazy because you let Malcolm Butler, an undrafted free agent, go, and all of a sudden you replace him with J.C. Jackson. It looks like they might have struck gold here again because he's had an unbelievable season so far. In terms of on the roster for the Patriots, I mean, look, Tom Brady in the playoffs, I'll take 10 times out of 10. And I think a guy like James White, the running game like you mentioned, and then Julian Edelman too. The one thing that is concerning because for me, I was a guy that said maybe they're trying to preserve Gronk here. They're not using him as much. Or at this point, I think you have to look at it and say that Gronk's not the player that he once was, or at least at this point in the season.
Yeah. I think teams are going to be scared still. I think there's going to be some – I think there's going to be a healthy amount of fear coming into Gillette, it doesn't matter. So even though that they've, you know, they're not having a great season, it's still Gillette, it's still Bill Belichick and Tom Brady across the field. And so I think that just factors in no matter what the regular season outcome has been. But J.C. Jackson, get back to him. I think he's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you know, the kid really showed some kahunas when, you know what, they tested him early. Roethlisberger tested him early a couple weeks ago. Been through to Juju Smith-Schuster a couple times early in that game.
Yep.
J.C. Jackson was like, "And is this all you got? I got this." That pick he had last week against Buffalo, phenomenal instinctual play. Okay. He was not, you know, that's a guy that kind of, he was peeking in at the quarterback. He's, you know, he played his, he went into his zone and then cheated over when he saw the quarterback looking that way and made a great pick on that play. This kid's got instincts. This kid can cover. And he looks like there's some real potential with him. And so not surprising that the Patriots find a guy, you know, you know, a diamond in the rough. You know, look, it's still early, but it looks like this kid's got potential. So, so far, so good with J.C. Jackson.
Quickly, going back to the Mystique thing, did you guys feel that early on? Like, was there a difference between 2001, let's say, when you're first getting started, to 2004? When teams came to Gillette Stadium 2004, could you feel at times when they would almost get overwhelmed?
I would say 2004 is where it felt like, yeah, we got something here, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we felt pretty good about ourselves at home.
Yeah,
we really, really did. And it didn't matter who came in there. We would have dominating performances in that 04 team. And one of my favorite, most dominating performances was the 2004. I want to say it was the divisional game. The Colts Tennessee. Came in.
Oh, the Colts.
Yeah, and Peyton Manning. They're averaging like, I don't know, 600 yards a game
right.
in the postseason. All right, maybe I'm embellishing, but just, you know, 40 points a game, and they scored three in that game. And
it
once you get on a team early back then, just the teams we had.
Snowballed.
It was like, you could just see it. It took the life out of them.
And you guys were a mental case for Peyton Manning. Like, he couldn't beat the Patriots, especially at Gillette Stadium. It took him a long time to finally come into Foxborough. Yeah. And he did. You guys had the number on for a long time.
Yeah, we felt very good at home with our fans.
Yep.
Our record there was so daunting.
Oh, yeah.
And so we knew that that was a weapon.
Right.
That was psychologically, that was already advantage Patriots when they had to come into Gillette and play us.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand. Patriots still dominant at Gillette Stadium, undefeated. Just 3-5 on the road, though. I want to get your thoughts on that. What might be going into the struggles on the road? But first, it's time for our VSIN Action Update. It's brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. The only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Ted Johnson filling in for Zolak and Bertrand, talking Patriots with you. 617-779-0985. Loaded phone line, so let's jump right into it. Let's go talk to Joel in Woburn. Joel, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Joel.
Good. Teddy, looking swole, brother. You look excellent.
Thanks,
you're a stud. You're a stud for us. I got a couple of points. One point is, I can't believe the critical talk about the team and Brady, period, is, you know, what he has for talent this year and what he's throwing to, and just going strictly on the coach and quarterback. It's obvious if it wasn't these two guys, I'm not sure he wouldn't be 5-11. It's just amazing with second seed and entering the playoffs. Yeah, and the second thing is, and Teddy, you could probably attest to this, the talent on defense on this team the last probably 5-6 years has been like extremely disappointing. Just the guys they've brought in alone. I mean, it's been basically Harrison on here, just been extremely bleak. I don't know what your thought is on it, but Brady's got to basically go out and score 35 points a game to even have a shot at winning the last 4 or 5 years. And I think that's you know, that doesn't speak much of Belichick on that level of bad luck.
Kind of losing you there, you know, Joel, but yeah.
But he, Joel's right. What is it, guys? Why isn't this team hasn't had an elite defense in a long time? 2014? Yeah. We can all say that was.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That was a defense.
Yeah. That was maybe the greatest Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, Seahawks won.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
It's just, but they had talent. Why don't they?
Yeah.
Why don't they anymore? You know, they've missed. Now, Bill's missed on some of these early, you know, was it Easley?
Yeah, absolutely.
Malcolm Brown hasn't played up to his potential. Right. There's just guys that he's brought in that haven't, I don't think, you know, lived up to maybe the hype. And, you know, it's weird. I think, that, again, you know, he's not retaining maybe some of the core players that used to be on this team that were great players that they want to go play somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so you're not retaining, so you're losing talent. You really are.
I think that's the interesting point, too, because you go back to 2014, and obviously you bring in free agents and Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis, and that kind of solidifies your secondary, but your core there, and it was a young core, was Hightower, Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, you know, Rob Ninkovich. And then slowly, all those guys leave. You let Darrell Revis walk, and everyone said, well, they're letting Darrell Revis walk because you got to re-sign Jamie Collins. You got to re-sign Hightower. You got to re-sign Malcolm Butler. You got to re-sign Chandler Jones. And now Hightower's really the only one left in that homegrown group of guys.
But let's talk about the two guys you just mentioned, two of the guys you just mentioned. You mentioned Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins.
Yep.
Why were they shipped out? Why aren't they on this team now?
Well, so for Chandler Jones, you would say, right, it's a pass rusher, and you don't want to pay that much to a pass rusher like Chandler Jones is going to get. And then the Jamie Collins thing, towards the end, people were saying he was kind of doing his own thing, and he was going to get paid as well. Mm-hmm. He was going to get paid a ton of money, and he certainly got a huge deal from Cleveland.
So I think it's basically Bill doesn't want to pay them what
– top dollar,
But it's also something else. It's not just that Bill doesn't want to pay these guys top dollar. It's that these guys do not want to take the hometown discount.
Yeah.
Okay? A lot of the guys that I played with on those teams took the hometown discount.
Yeah.
More than you realize. There's guys that were taking pay cuts. They don't report. So if the Patriots come to you and ask you to renegotiate, which means basically we want to pay you less money.
You're right.
Take it or leave
it. They don't say, well, let's renegotiate. Let's bump you up.
I did it twice.
Yeah.
Okay, if I don't, what can happen to me? I maybe get shipped off. You know, I get cut
because
I don't – or I get traded to Cleveland, God forbid, like Jamie Collins
did.
Well,
that's the thing too, right? When you get shipped out, it's not just to a contender. He usually sends you to Oakland.
Oh,
sends you to Cleveland.
Right.
Yeah, the middle of nowhere.
Purgatory.
Yeah, yeah.
So guys, there's just not guys that want to re-sign here for less than what they feel like they deserve. So a lot of this talent they've brought in, they've nurtured, they've developed – when it's time to pay, Bill's like, no. And they're like, and I'm not going to take a pay cut. See ya. When I was playing, guys would say, all right, I'll take less market. I'll take below market value so I can be here with a winner. Guys aren't doing that anymore. And it's showing in the talent pool on this team.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls and let's talk to Joe in Weymouth. Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan of the show. There's honestly, in regards to the playoffs, there's nobody really to rely upon in the AFC. I mean, the Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game since 1993. The Houston Texans have never beaten the Patriots at Gillette in their franchise's history. I mean, you know, the evidence for me not supporting Phillip Rivers in the playoffs kind of speaks for itself. He has, like, no playoff track record to begin with. And I mean, I think the biggest threat is Baltimore in the sense that, you know, the skills that travel well are a running game and a defense. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. I agree with him. Look, there's not a team in the AFC that I look at and I say the Patriots can't beat them. I think what's different, though, in years past is you would look at the AFC and say, oh, the Patriots had this. And now I say, oh, they could win that game. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between going and saying they're clearly the favorite versus now it kind of seems like they're in that group of teams that could potentially come out of the AFC.
Absolutely. And it's just because of what we've seen recently. The Chargers get loose to Baltimore, who's on the rise with a rookie quarterback. You got the Chiefs that have lost three out of their last five. What's going on there? Yeah. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes is still young. You know, hey, The Texans have never come up here and really gave, a good performance. It's hard to think that the Texans can kind of do the same thing. So the caller's absolutely right. There's so many things. There's so many other flaws on these other teams. And it's truly one of those deals like, you know what, yeah, okay, Phillip Rivers. And I'm thinking maybe the Chargers have the best chance to come in here and do it. But you know what? Prove it still. Yeah. I haven't seen enough from Phillip Rivers and that team in the past that lends me to think that, oh, yeah, they come here, the Patriots are in trouble. Hey, they're not.
You look at the Patriots team this year, still undefeated at Gillette Stadium, and there's a chance they could go throughout the whole postseason here and not have to leave Gillette. But you look at the struggles that they've had on the road and some of the losses that they've had. To you, what does that tell you about this team? The fact that they haven't necessarily had the success on the road and some of the losses that you look at, that Titans game, you just kind of leaves you scratching your head like, what the hell just happened there? Didn't expect that at all. The Lions, and I know there's the Matt Patricia connection there, so maybe he had some inside information about how to scheme up some of the personnel from the defense and stuff. But when you look at that, does that tell you something about this team?
What's the first thing you usually think of? When you see a team that has trouble on the road, the first thing I look at is what's the collective average age of this team? Is this a young team?
Not really.
It's the fourth oldest team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I say, okay, well, that killed that argument.
Yeah.
So it's a young team. What is it then? What is it? Or is it they just, is it a mental weakness thing? I mean, that's the only thing this team is, again, it's like, when the proverbial is hitting the fan and things get tough. Are guys rallying? I haven't seen anybody get mad at anybody. I haven't seen any outbursts. You know, I haven't seen Belichick or Brian Flores bring the guys around and go, let's go. Get your head out of your ass. Let's go. I haven't seen any of that on the road. And there's been a time after time after time for opportunities to see maybe that happen.
That happened. Yeah.
And I just don't see guys doing that. So to me, it's just, I can't even believe, is it a lack of caring? Is it a mental weakness? That's the only thing I can think of maybe it is, because usually teams that have problems on the road are younger. This team's the fourth oldest team in the NFL, and that's not the case.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. 617-779-0985. I want to sneak this call in here because he's been waiting a while. Let's talk to Ted. Ted, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey.
Some Patriots seat to catch hold since 2013 after they hired Bill Parcells. And my son would go, Teddy Bruschi, Teddy Johnson. So, Teddy, how are you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Ted. Thank you very much. I'm doing as good as I've done in a long time. I'm on a really good track. So thank you. Yeah, Ted, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, bud.
Big fan.
Loyal caller. He's hanging around. Yeah.
Very nice. You know, people ask me how I'm doing when they do see me out. And, I've been very open and honest about my struggles in the past. And I'm happy to say that I am in a good place, mentally, physically. I'm in a very good place. So all the Pete fans that ask and when they approach me and the caller just now, it means a lot. I'm doing great, and so thank you.
We're awesome. Happy to have you here, Ted.
Yeah, thanks.
Doing a fine job.
All right, Tim McCullen's
in. I can still screw it up. I got another hour and a half.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, sign him on the dotted line.
Okay.
Tim McCullen, Ted Johnson filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get to you more of your calls coming up next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Hape is the fullback. And Anderson, the tailback in the eye, first and 10, Denver, the Patriot 24. The give is to Anderson. He's drilled in the backfield for a loss by Ted Johnson. Wow. Johnson just carried offensive lineman Lenny Friedman into the backfield with him and smothered Anderson for a loss.
He is such a great...
Should have let it run. They were going to say something else that was nice
just
about
keep
me.
Going.
Why do we stop it?
The late Gil Santos.
God.
Yeah.
Gil. I think he was going to say such a great radio host.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right, so we didn't miss anything.
Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl champion, filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. I am Tim McCone. Ted, quickly, when you look back at that stuff, is it crazy to you now that you come back here and see where the Patriots are now in terms of the Boston sports landscape versus what it may have been when you first started your career?
Tim, you haven't. It's amazing to me when I think about that subject. I have thought about that because being in Houston the last 7 years, And I would, you know, I'd come up here, you know, to see my kids in the summer or whatever, holidays. And I would just be amazed at, and I'm driving in my car and I see billboards of Patriot guys. And I listen to the radio and I'm hearing the backup running back has a commercial for this. And the special teams captain has the commercial for that. And I'm just like, it's Patriots everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's, when I got drafted in 1995, okay, it was clearly the Patriots were at the bottom of the totem pole in this deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Red Sox, baby, all the way, Celtics, Bruins, and then you had the Patriots down here.
Yep.
It's amazing how it's just flip-flopped. It's astonishing to me, and I love it. You know what's really cool?
What's that?
Is so when I would go to Red Sox games when I first got here, 95 and early 90s, and I used to go with Chris Slade, one of my favorite teammates. I love Slade. And Chris would say, let's go see. He always wanted to go see good pitching matchups. All right. So yeah. I didn't realize that was a reason to go see a certain game. So anytime Pedro and Clemens were pitching,
that you guys were going.
Me and Slade were at the game.
Yeah.
And I just remember looking at this in the stadium at Fenway Park, and I look in the crowd and I'd see grandfathers with their grandsons.
Yeah.
And I'd see young girls with their dads. And it was just you see a lot of girls, you know, wearing their garb and just multi-generational type setting at Fenway Park. You go to a game in Gillette in Foxborough in 1995, it's all guys. I mean, like, yeah. Remember, it was in 1995, it was the first time they had Monday Night Football there in 10 years.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Right?
Big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at it now.
Yeah.
You go to a game at Gillette,
yeah.
You see grandfathers with their grandsons.
Yeah. Right.
You see dads with their daughters.
Family atmosphere.
Multi-generational now.
Yeah.
And so what the Patriots have been able to do this last, you know, 18 to 25 years mm-hmm. is create a multi-generational fandom.
Right.
That is unlike anything, and it happened like that.
It's crazy.
And it's because of the continued sustained success the Patriots have had throughout this course of these 18 years that, you know, I mean, these kids, you know, my son's 13, my daughter's 14. All they know is winning and championships.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are lifelong Patriot fans, not just because their dad played, but because they're so damn good when they're kids. And so they're going to be lifelong fans. Multi-generational, just like the Red Sox were when I first got here. It's awesome to see.
What'd you think, too, the first time you drove into Foxborough, like kind of middle of nowhere, maybe a couple of motels on Route 1. Obviously, now it's become the second coming of Disney World, for crying out loud, with all the shops and the movie theaters and so forth. But kind of middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it is pretty cool to see. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I love being associated with being a cog in that whole that beginning.
Yeah.
Right? So when I was – I mean, it used to be Foxborough – The practice facility.
I was going to say, what was training camp like for you guys? Wasn't it
Smithfield, Rhode Island?
Yeah, yeah.
It was Smithfield, Rhode Island.
College.
But it was a Bryan College.
Yeah.
But we would practice literally an 8-minute drive from the stadium into the, you know, the middle of Foxborough, mm-hmm. next to this old mental hospital that was obviously run down and hadn't been used. And there's like three gorgeous football fields here. This old state mental institute that's, you know, been abandoned for the last 50 years,
right.
In the middle of, you know, Foxborough suburbia, and we're all in our uniforms and our, you know, and our SUVs and our Mercedes driving to practice. And look at it now.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans would come out to Smithfield. There was a lot of fans, but now, I mean, it's thousands of fans that come to training camp now.
You go to training camp now, there's 14,000 fans every day. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy.
People up on the ramp too.
You got to give a lot of props to the Kraft family. They know how to market their team.
Yeah,
and they've done it well. But winning as much as they have is the biggest factor in that. Right?
Amazing.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's talk to Steve and Bill Rookie. You've been hanging a long time, Steve. What's going on?
Teddy, what's going on? It is an honor.
Thank you.
I'm glad I can ask you this question. Now, with the Malcolm Butler deal, right, when you talk about, you know, players taking pay cuts and all that stuff, and with Bill Belichick basically saying, you know, you take the pay cut, come work for us, and you have the best chance of winning. And then he has that bomb in the playoffs where he doesn't play Butler. how long do you think, two questions, do you think Brady could ever forgive him for that? Because the first thing I said after that Super Bowl was Brady's going to be pissed. This team and Tom Brady put in a huge year, a huge commitment, and it was all, not off and off, but Bill Belichick didn't leave it all on the field. And the second part question would be, did Bill Belichick do it to deter players from contract problems in the future, like saying, hey, I'm not going to let Malcolm Butler market himself on my stage. So the next guy that comes around with the contract, hey, you know, I better sign. I better take this discount, or I better sign for what he's asking, or I'm going to take the kid in the bed and the stick here.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve.
I'll say this, bud. It was long before the benching of Malcolm Butler, there was an understanding that if you went to New England, you weren't going to get paid
top dollar.
Top dollar.
Yep.
So I don't think it was, I don't think it was that at all. I think the reason that Bill didn't play Malcolm is between Malcolm and Bill, and it doesn't sound like we're ever going to find out. But I don't think it had anything to do with this contract. Like, I think it, if anything, you know, I think he would have been gone long. He would have been gone before the season started, like Chandler Jones was, or he'd been traded mid-season, like Jamie Collins was. So I don't think it had that had anything to do with it at that. But the original point was, do you think Tom's holding a grudge against Bill for that decision? I think a lot of guys have some resentment about that.
Yeah.
It's only human nature to have a little resentment about that decision when it's clearly made no sense.
We talked about this a little earlier, but for people that haven't been listening, I think it would be interesting too. From your perspective and as a player, I would think, and I think a lot of people think that, you know, while Belichick hasn't addressed it publicly, internally, he must have told his guys, you know, this is the reason we didn't play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl and given them a reason to kind of explain what went on. You said that's probably not the case, though?
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Belichick doesn't want to... He doesn't want to have to justify himself to you, Tim, or to you, Sarge, or to any of us. And to me, now that I'm in the, you know, it was in the media, does fill in now, but he doesn't want to have to give you a reason. And you think, well, he does for his players. No. Bill doesn't feel like he owes anybody an explanation. I think Bill probably thinks, look at those banners in my, in the stadium there.
It speaks for itself.
I don't need to justify any decisions I make. So, as much as we'd like to think that he has given the guys behind closed doors his reasoning for that, my feeling and my gut, and I have an idea, he's never said that. He's never given a reason. And I don't think Bill feels like he needs to. But this is one that's going to, in my opinion, is going to haunt Bill for a long time. This one will be hard to shake because it is... What are we? It's December 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still talking about Malcolm Butler being benched in the Super Bowl.
Nearly 11 months later.
It's still sitting wrong with a lot of people.
Right.
And so if it is for fans, can you imagine what it's like for the players?
Well, especially if they get bounced early in the playoffs. Be like, well, you had your chance, mm-hmm. and you're going to have that dark cloud over your head for a long time until they win that next one. If they win that next one, it's going to be over his head until it happens.
And, you know, you got to look at what is the optics of this thing look like, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a free agent, you're like, do I want to go there? Was this a petty decision? Like,
yeah,
is this guy petty? Bill can be petty. He can be petty. But being petty on the biggest stage in the biggest game? Okay, that takes some balls. And do I want to go play for that? And you see the chinks in the armor. So, you know, as opposed to, you know, like guys wanting to come here and win rings, you wonder now if there's a little bit of, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Tim McCone alongside three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. We'll get back to your calls coming up next right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand has been brought to you by your local Nissan dealer. Get to Nissan's year-end event and save big. Shop choosenissan.com today. Back to you, Tim McCone.
There you go, Sarge. Appreciate that. Very smooth.
That's how you do it, buddy.
Tim McCone, Ted Johnson in for Zolak.
That's how you do it, buddy.
Yeah, I like that. That was nice.
I mean, I'm getting education. See, this is how headlines are done.
That's right.
3 feet from the guy that can show you how to get it done.
The dean.
The dean.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Yep.
The dean.
617-779-0985. Talking Patriots with you. And, of course, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You know, last segment we were talking about Malcolm Butler and the effect that that might have had not only in the Super Bowl, but moving forward as well. Ted, and you have an interesting experience, too, because in 1996, you guys go to the Super Bowl, and you had a distraction there, too, with all the Bill Parcells rumors, him potentially leaving. Yeah. What kind of impact did that have on you guys heading into that game?
I think it was definitely a distraction. I loved Parcells personally, loved the guy, and I think a lot of us on that team did, man. And it's Bill's a unique guy, and we loved him being our leader, and we loved following that guy. And it was a little bit disheartening. It was a distraction to think that, you know, that your guy you're playing for had maybe one foot out the door, and it was already, looking with an eye towards the Jets. So, you know, it wasn't a huge distraction. I think Bill did a really good job those 2 weeks of squashing it so that it didn't become a huge story. But was it always there? Was this always this undercurrent that whole 2 weeks preparing for the Super Bowl? You know, this idea that he's going to be gone after the game, is that in the back of your mind throughout all your preparations? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just human nature. I can't say that that's the reason we didn't, you know, make the plays we didn't make to win the game, but it was definitely a factor. And it was just interesting after that game. His post-game comments were so just kind of, hey, you know, you got to work hard and get ready for the offseason. Not like, we got to get ready for the offseason.
Right.
We got a lot of work. It was not announced, right, until after the game. But his post-game comments made it very clear that he wasn't going to be our coach the following year. And that was a bummer because I absolutely love playing for Bill. Bill Parcells is, to me, he's a god, man. And I love playing for that guy. And I reached out to him about a year ago. Because I just thought, you know, I haven't connected with him, and I'm going to reach out to Bill and just let him know what he meant to me as being my coach. He's down in Florida, and he said, Ted, my juice is the horses now. So he owns like a dozen horses.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. He's in Saratoga.
Yeah.
He's in Saratoga in the summers. Yeah. He's in Florida in the winters, and he's happy as a clam. He loves horse racing, and he says, that's my juice, Teddy. So,
that's good stuff.
Coach Parcells always needs something going on to give him his juice, right?
So, yeah.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls here. Let's talk to Rick in Woodburn. Rick, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hello?
What's going on? What's up, Ted?
How you doing, Rick?
Good, man. I was going to say, basically, I wanted to talk about Gronk, but I mean, did you basically – no, nah, I wanted to ask you something, basically. Did you ever make up events, I mean, after ripping his wife or whatever?
Yeah. You know what? I was waiting for that call. That's all right. That was the biggest professional gaffe of my career. And it was at that moment when that happened, he's bringing up the Vince Wilfork incident that happened about 6 years ago. I'm in Houston doing a part-time radio, doing a show that I'd never done in a segment I didn't know. And I really screwed up, man. And I was, at that moment in time, I was not a good person. And so, believe it or not, after that gaffe, about 30 minutes after that happened, I was on the phone talking to Vince's wife, Bianca, and apologizing and telling her how sick I felt. Vince didn't deserve that. His wife didn't deserve that. That's me making a huge mistake, not knowing the impact it was going to have. And so I wish that moment never happened. It did. And so I was waiting for it. We got into almost the last hour before it called. But I feel terrible that I hurt Vince and that I hurt his wife and that I hurt Vince Wilfork fans, because everybody here in Patriots, land is a huge Vince Wilfork fan. So that one I wish I could have over.
All right, Ted Johnson, Tim McCone filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. Going to keep your calls going, 617-779-0985. Also want to get into more of the Pats. Ted's thoughts on this final regular season matchup against the Jets here before we get ready for the postseason. We'll get into all that coming up next. But first, let's get Hub Headlines here from Mike Sarge-Riley.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.